Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, May the 9th. And this hour, we'll pay tribute to our moms and pay tribute to designated daughters. The daughter who takes care of mom in her later years after dad passes away. Our guest this hour is a designated daughter and wrote the book, Designated Daughter, The Bonus Years with Mom. Also, the companion journal, Things I Would Love You to Know, a journal for mothers and daughters. We'll do some journaling on the radio this hour. Are you a designated daughter? What's the experience like for you? How special is this time together with your mom? Maybe you're a mom who's spending more time now with a designated daughter. What would you like your daughter to know? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is D.G. Fulford, best-selling author of many books, including the classic To Our Children's Children, which she wrote with her brother, Bob Green. She is also the author of Things I'd Love You to Know, the companion fill-in journal to Designated Daughter. D.G. is also the co-founder of TheRememberingSite.com, TheRememberingSite.com, which makes it easy for anyone to write, archive, share, and publish their own life story. She is the author, with her mother, Phyllis Green, of Designated Daughter, The Bonus Years with Mom. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is really a touching story. It brought a tear to my eye. I lost my mom about 10 years ago this spring, and I was, to a certain extent, not to the extent you are, a designated daughter. You actually moved home from Nevada to Ohio after your dad died 8 years ago?
That's right. Yeah. I lived in Los Angeles for a long time. I'd been away from Columbus, Ohio, my hometown, for 20 years. I was in Los Angeles, and then I moved to a ghost town in Nevada and lived there 3 years until my mom called and said, Daddy wants you to come home.
Because Daddy knew he was...
His daddy failing. Knew he was leaving us, and he wanted me there. I never quite understood why he would want me there, because I wouldn't be anybody's first choice as a caregiver. But I was with a man at the time, and I said, what could they possibly want from me? Because I can't cook, I'm a slob, I leave magazines all over the place and little piles wherever I go. And my friend said, fresh air. And that, I think that's what I brought. And I stayed trying to provide fresh air through these both beautiful and heartbreaking times.
Yeah, you wrote that an uncle congratulated you on your wise decision to move home, and you said you didn't really consider it a decision.
No, it was one of those things that is totally instinctual, and it's not often in life that you find yourself in the right time, in the right place, doing the right thing, and suddenly I was given this opportunity to do that, and I came home. It was as natural as getting the newspaper in the morning. That's just what I needed to do.
And you say that there is maybe a not so secret society of designated daughters out there.
That's right. We are part of an enormous demographic, both being baby boomers with parents who are living longer because of modern medicine. And so we're totally recognizable to each other once we give ourselves a name. And I heard from a reader who said, thanks for telling me what it is I'm doing. I knew the whole time that I was here that that there was a, this was a certain segment in life, and it never gelled into words, but the designated daughter is the person in the family who can be there with consistency.
And you see the designated daughter sitting with mom at the doctor's office or carrying her purse at the shopping mall?
Although I had a friend who came home also to be a designated daughter, and she drove here to Ohio from the state of Washington. And she felt like she should have had a bumper sticker, honk if you're with your mom. Because once you open your eyes to this phenomenon, which really has been going on for generations, people have always gotten older, and daughters have always taken care. But here we are, baby boomers now, and we tend to recognize, not a movement exactly, but a group. We're so large and so many.
Yeah, we are paying tribute this hour to our moms and to designated daughters everywhere. Are you one of them? Do you know someone who is? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, May the 9th. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 5 this afternoon during At Issue with Ben Marins, Remembering Mom and Sharing Memories. That's the theme of today's open line after 5 o'clock this afternoon. Call in with your favorite mom memories after 5. Well, you can call in mom memories this hour, too. We are in anticipation of Mother's Day on Sunday, talking about our moms and designated daughters. Designated daughters who take care of mom or spend the most time with mom following the death of dad. Our guest is a designated daughter. DJ Fulford moved back home after her father's death and became her mom's closest companion. It's a story, as she writes, of what happens when a mother needs her daughter's help and the daughter gets more help in return than she could ever give. So are you or have you been a designated daughter or a mom who has a designated daughter? We want to hear your stories too. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Talk more about what you meant when you wrote that you moved there to help mom, but you got more help in return than you could ever give.
That's right. My mother and I have always had a fine and wonderful relationship. I mean, high school was one thing. We really never fought or fight about anything except maybe, you know, boys and hair in high school. And now I'm at the point there are no boys and my hair looks pretty good. So we don't really have that anymore. We come from a long line of women who don't like to hurt each other's feelings. And I think at this point in our lives, if we have our differences, our little annoyances, and we have plenty of differences, we're polar opposite in vibe, mm-hmm. I guess you would say. My mother is full-blooded Talbots, and I am basically a lifetime of denim. At this point, it's if something bugs you, if something gets on your nerves, we made up our mantra was, we don't care. It's one of our ways we get through things, and we're together, we say, we don't care, and we don't. We just know that this time is precious, we're enjoying it, we've found something. A true friendship and mutual admiration society with ourselves. And when you have a team like a mother and a daughter, nothing is important enough to break that apart.
Yeah. You know, your mother also wrote at the end of each chapter in this book, and I was really touched when she wrote about, well, her eventual death. She said that you two are, taking this journey with an elephant lumbering beside you, and that elephant is death. She hates the thought of it, not so much because of what it means for her, but what it will mean for you.
Right. Yeah. Protective to the end.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when we wrote this book, we didn't sit down and really do it together. We each wrote our own parts, and then she would send them to me to incorporate them. And when I read that first bit about the elephant named Death, it ricocheted me back in my chair. It was so strong. My mom is a wonderful writer, and I think after 8 years, of being there and being so compatible and spending so much time having so many jokes and in-jokes, I think I'm better now. I think I'm stronger now, and I'm not saying that I won't be floored on the day that it happens, but I think with all of this strength and wisdom and laughter I've absorbed, that I'll be picking myself up off the floor and remembering these great, great times.
Yeah. To the phones we go. Anne in Waukesha joins us first. Hi, Anne, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say that in our home, my husband is a designated daughter. His mother is living with us, and he's taken a part-time job to take care of her, and it's been a wonderful experience, a kind of a lesson to me, to show me how a mother-in-law can successfully live with her daughter-in-law and how a son can be a loving caregiver. And I'm really happy that this is happening to us because I don't have any daughters, and I'm hoping that my sons are watching and seeing what they may be able to do for me or their dad someday.
Yeah, well, they better. No.
There are plenty of designated sons,
yeah.
And I don't want to leave them out. One of my best friends is a designated son, but you do learn, and I'm so happy that your boys are learning, first of all, learning not to be afraid of an older person, and not to, it's not like when you were small and a trip to grandma's was fun until you reached 13 or so, and then there would be any place you would rather be. But to watch, I swear, my designated daughterhood came after watching my mother care for my dad. And it was such a story of love that to be able to provide that for someone else is just beyond the gifts you think that you're capable of.
Yeah. Well, Anne, and I imagine that while your husband is working part-time to help take care of his mother, you're spending a lot of time helping to take care of her, too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But he's taken the helm here.
And, yeah.
I love watching it, and I can say that it's done a lot for our relationship, too.
Yeah. And is your mom still alive?
No, she is not. She passed away about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that reminder. That's the same thing that happened in my family, too, DJ G. I'm sorry, it's Debbie is your real name, but only your mom called you Debbie once in a while, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. You should have seen her yesterday. She was really, really trying to go with the DG.
She'll do that in public, yeah. DG,
and the Debbie just flew out of her mouth.
Yeah. My brother at the time move in with in my parents' home after my dad passed away. It was actually after my mother had a stroke and she needed someone there all the time.
Uh-huh.
And but you know the rest of the family, I spent a lot of time with her and weekends at my house and that sort of thing. But it was a boy, a brother in our family that was the designated brother, I guess. Larry is with us now. Hi, Larry. Larry is traveling and apparently can't hear us. He was going to say the same thing. We've got a number of designated sons calling in. So it is, sons take care of moms too sometimes, right? But it seems more often than not, it is the daughter that does this.
Right, and this is my story. If I was I was a man, it would have been designated son.
Yeah. And what about, I mean, we all, you have a famous brother, you're famous yourself too, but Bob Green, how does this affect your relationship with your siblings? Is there any, I don't know, resentment or tension over this?
You know, every once in a while, I'll build up a little head of steam, but there's no reason for it. It's just things get overwhelming at time. I have a brother, Tim, who lives in Florida, who's fantastic. Bob is fantastic. They're both in constant contact on the phone every day. You know, it's very funny. We have three adult children in the family, and each one of us talks to Mom many times a day, so we each know what the other is doing. They lend their support in other ways that I can't, and they're here always to bounce things off of. I mean, they're still in existence and in love, but they're not in town, I mm-hmm. guess.
We are talking with D.G. Fulford, author of Designated Daughter, The Bonus Years with Mom. She writes in the book that she saw her demographic referred to recently in an obituary. It was not defined in so many words, but a designated daughter can recognize another designated daughter anywhere. Mrs. Lennox, 87, died. She is survived by four children, Edward, Mark, Kenneth, and Linda, who for more than the last 3 years provided constant and loving care to her mother. The obituary read, there it was in print, akin to an MD or a PhD after Linda's name. Linda had earned her DD, designated daughter. We will talk more about mothers and daughters coming up after this check of the latest news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36. On this Friday, May the 9th. And in anticipation of Mother's Day this Sunday, we're talking about mothers and daughters and the mother-daughter relationship, talking with the author of the new book, Designated Daughter, The Bonus Years with Mom. And we welcome your memories, your thoughts, your questions, your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. D.G. Fulford writes, designated daughters are all over the country, all over the world. We are a secret society of women, instantly recognizable to one another. We sit in doctors' waiting rooms holding our mother's hands. We hold the coats. We hold the purses. We hold our mother's arms like suitors. We become so close, so bonded, we form a two-person silhouette. My mother needed me, so I moved home to Ohio after 20 years away. Our lives began to merge and mesh. We had our glory days and our travels. I became a grandmother. She became a great-grandmother. We went to lectures. We went to lunch. We went to funerals. A lot. We have had 8 wonderful years together. Each year brings its own kind of change for my mother and for me. We're talking about those changes. We're talking about sharing our very best years together, and we're welcoming again your questions and comments. D.J. Fulford is the best-selling author of many books, including the classic To Our Children's Children, which she wrote with her brother, Bob Green. She is also the author of Things I'd Love You to Know, the companion fill-in journal to Designated Daughter. And before we go back to the phones, DG, tell us about the journal, the companion journal. This is something that moms and daughters during these golden years can be filling out together to share memories?
Oh, yes, absolutely. To Our Children's Children, the book I wrote with my brother Bob Green, was published in 1993. And basically it was a book of, or it is a book of over 1,000 really small storytelling questions that made family history not be overwhelming and ominous, but welcoming and enjoyable. And the rememberingsite.com is also along the same lines, just well, can you say Polaroid anymore, since Polaroid is stopping making Polaroid film? But I call them Polaroid questions. You read them, and the answer just is in that wonderful filing cabinet in your mind, even if you hadn't thought about it in years. So, Things I'd Love You to Know, I just think it's, if I could say so myself, it's a really sweet book. It's a wonderful way either to fill it out for your mother, to fill it out for your daughter, or to do it together. Some days it seems like all you talk about is how many Lasix pills to take, and what the Coumadin levels are, and sharing Things I'd Love You to Know, or just doing it, writing things down between you with writing prompts. For instance, the piece of jewelry you can't take off is, the best present I ever got from you was, you love these poems, my friends always liked you because. And it draws you deeper back into the whole life and not just this aging part. And it's a beautiful means of communication, both with your mother, or even I have a section called After, even after your mother has passed. I believe that people stay with us. I don't know any person who doesn't have their mother's voice in their head, and that doesn't stop. You know, sometimes their voices come right out of our own mouths.
Oh, yeah, we become our mothers.
But this is just a good, intimate way to look at life and your life as a daughter, your life as a mother, and think about things that you haven't thought about in years, and maybe say things on the page, which is often, as a writer will tell you, easier than to say them in words.
Yeah. You just reminded me that one of my mom's favorite songs was Teach Your Children Well, which also was Teach Your Parents Well.
Uh-huh.
And I just remembered that as you were talking about that.
That's a Polaroid question.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom in Turtle Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. This is reminding me of my mother. I'm 66, and my oldest sister is 85, and there were seven of us. We would fight, but the only thing we ever fought over was who was going to get Mom to visit next.
Mm.
And that's how much we loved her. And we are to this day on extreme ends of the political spectrum and religion, but there's a glue that to this very day holds us so tightly together. And she was a wonderful woman, and my sister took care of her in the last few years.
Yeah.
Well, I can hear the emotion in your voice, and it's beautiful. Our mothers are our home base. You know, I opened this book with quote from Bambi, because that was such a seminal moment in all our lives, when Bambi's mother was killed, and I saw this when I was 4 or 5, and I had to go to bed for 3 days afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the loss of one's mother is the fear beyond fear. It's something we can't even think about, much less plan for. So that's why these years are so important. We know that elephant is on his way, but we're going to go right up and meet him. Yeah. And for Christmas, my brother Tim gave us both an elephant pinata.
Oh, yeah.
So we could just beat that elephant up.
He's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tom, for the call. Beverly in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I love the pinata. My sister in California is a designated daughter. I never thought she would get my parents to leave New England. But they're there, one in assisted living and one in more serious care. And every time I thank my sister for doing this, she says, no, I'm enjoying it. This is wonderful. And I am so jealous. And I also know all the other ladies in assisted care are pretty jealous, too, because my sister takes them places. My mother's in my sister's book club, and they're just learning so much.
Yeah, I think that you hit something there, that the other ladies, you can be a designated non-related by blood daughter. I mean, at times we all need one person. So your sister taking the ladies to their book club, and I have a friend even who started a business taking ladies to the grocery when they can't shop for themselves, or taking them on small outings, taking them to lunch. She sees little plays that are going on in town. She has become the designated daughter for a lot of women who don't have daughters in town. Just someone who cares, someone who checks in, someone who takes care of the stuff you don't even think will ever be. It may be annoying, but it's not impossible. But my mom, she hasn't been in a grocery in 2 years, I don't think.
Mm.
But the necessities of life, to be able to fulfill them for somebody else, it's just, you gain, I'll tell you, what you gain almost is a kind of self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
But the doing, it's so unthinkable to not do.
Yeah. We will check our weather forecast, and then we will welcome more calls, more experiences for our guest. Our guest is a designated daughter. She wrote the new book, Designated Daughter, The Bonus Years with Mom, and the companion journal, Things I Love You to Know, a journal for mothers and daughters. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you a designated daughter? Someone who takes care of mom, maybe after dad has passed away? What's the experience like for you? How special is this time together for you? Maybe you're a mom who's spending more time now with a designated daughter or son. What do you want your son or daughter to know? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, we'll get a different opinion on the horse racing industry. Maybe you heard our guest from PETA earlier this week saying that horse racing is no better than dog fighting. After 7, we'll talk with a guest who says PETA is misinformed. Right now we're talking about mothers and daughters and sharing their very best years. D.G. Fulford is the best-selling author of many books. Her very latest is Designated Daughter, The Bonus Years with Mom. 1-800-642-1234 if you're sharing some bonus years with Mom. We'd like to hear from you or any questions or thoughts that you have about this. Lori in Eagle River is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that this reminded me of something my sisters and I did about 5 years ago when my mother was in her late 70s. And we put together some questions, and each of us girls answered those questions. And what was interesting is seeing the answers my sisters had as memories that I forgot about. And so it was really neat. We shared this with Mom and Dad, and it was a great Mother's Day present we gave to her. What we're doing now is we're actually interviewing Mom and Dad and with videotapes and questions about their past, and that's going to be precious.
It's going to be precious for you and for you know, all of your kids, too.
Yeah.
DG, how about that?
Well, I mean, that you're talking about what I live for.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the importance of this. I think that I'm just overwhelmed by it, from to our children's children until now. And I think you're talking about your sisters having different stories or reminding you of things. We all have different stories. I mean, people get hung up on whether this is correct and whether this was the right date and was this the exact city. And I just say that stuff, I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter as much as the stories. And as far as having different stories from your siblings, that's the way we remembered. No one is right and no one is wrong.
And to accept
that, it's just reflecting. We find ourselves moving forward, and very seldom looking back. And when we do, it's not a completely altruistic experience because we are doing it for the giftee. But what a gift to ourselves to look over our lifetimes and see how many, I mean, I was the mother of an infant. I was the mother of a teenager. All the jobs that you've had, I mean, it gives you a really wonderful perspective on your own life.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much, Lori, for the call. And your mom is doing okay.
Yes, they're both parents are now in their 80s, so they're doing fine.
Yeah, and you no one has to. Are you living in, nearby?
No, they actually live in Florida, and my father is the main caretaker. So, but they're still on their own, and they're now we're interviewing them with questions.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for the call. Yeah, I know siblings in my family certainly have different memories, but in part that's our realities are different. For instance, my oldest brother, a good 12 years older than I, has much different memories than I do. I was, the baby of the family, so my relationship with my mom was different than his relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story. When my brother Bob and I were young, we were watching Of Mice and Men, which makes us sound like pretty intellectual young children. But when my parents came home, I remember them driving in the driveway, and we both ran out the door to tell them about this story, and I said, it was about a dog who died, because to me that was the most chilling thing. When Lenny mistakenly killed a puppy, and my brother said, "That's not what it's about."
Yeah,
and he gave his perfect Cliff Notes version. But it's about what is it about to us?
Yeah, you know, DG, as I mentioned at the very beginning, I wasn't necessarily the designated daughter, though I played that role to some extent following my father's death and before my mother had her stroke. But you know, it was hard in some ways too. I mean, it was wonderful to spend time with Mom and help Mom, and you did feel that fulfillment, that self-respect that you talked about before. But it was also nerve-wracking, stressful. You haven't found any of this to be a burden in any way.
Burden isn't the right word. Mm-hmm. Nerve-wracking and stressful are precise. We just went through... We talk about Lisa in the book, who came as a caregiver. I don't live with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
If I did, this wouldn't have been probably such a wonderful 8 years for either of us. But Lisa, who's been my mom's caregiver, has to leave. I mean, this just happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was frantic, total frantic time. How do you find someone to take care of your mother?
Right.
I mean, my daughter reminded me, it's like trying to find a nanny, you know, you're scared. But this miracle happened through designated daughter, and it's just kind of the story. A reader wrote me an email. She lives here in town. I'd never met her. And she wrote me an email about the book, and at the end she said, "And by the way, if you ever need health care for your mom, I have this wonderful person." And that was at precisely the moment when I was going most stressed, frantic, what am I going to do, breaking down in tears, not being strong. And this miracle came through, and this woman is going to move in on Sunday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, absolutely, there are moments. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about, "Mom, you're driving me crazy. I don't want to, you know, how can I do this?" It's like, how can I make this better? Am I able to make this better?
Yeah. We did have a caller who I think... decided against going on the air, but I wanted to share the story as conveyed by my producer, who was a designated daughter, but she says her mom had been abusive to her as a child, and it was she was the only child, and there was no one else to take care of her mother when the mom needed her. She said, though, that only at the end, when she was sick and needed her help, did her mother treat her nicely or say good things to her. But, you know, I would think that would be healing in a way.
I would think so. I wish your caller would have come on, because she could have told us if it were. But you grow up and it's time to file off the edges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a grudge isn't going to do you any good, even if it's deserved. You know, and I know how difficult that must be, but in the end, she can remember her mother being grateful and loving and nice to her. And maybe that's what she'll take away. It wasn't, her mom had a hard time, apparently, during the younger years.
Yeah. And you have now, in the 8 years that you've, after you moved back home and have been spending more time with your mom, you say that she went from sort of a vibrant 70-something to now her health is catching up to her right now, and she's not as mobile as she used to be.
No, and in February, this tiny, tiny 88-year-old woman had two major surgeries, emergency, within 5 days of each other.
Oh, wow.
So these last 3 months, there's been a lot of crying and stress. But she's getting better. I mean, you almost are afraid to say it, but each hill we climb and each valley we walk through, we're doing it together, and we're laughing. I mean, that's our most important advice.
Yeah.
Laugh as much as you can.
And keep swatting that elephant, huh?
And keep that pinata beaten to shreds.
Yeah, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Joy.
Our guest, D.G. Fulford, she is the author, along with her mother, Phyllis Green, of Designated Daughter, The Bonus Years with Mom. Also the author of Things I'd Love You to Know, the companion fill-in journal to Designated Daughter. Also co-founder of the website, theremembering site.com. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing this hour. Thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. Hope you have a very happy Mother's Day this weekend. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.